You're listening to Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and Dana Greenlee's in here with me. She is a CBS.com netcast podcaster and is the curator and operator of boston-legal.org and runs the Boston Legal podcast as well. How are you, Dana?
I'm doing fine. Spend a little bit more time on that ABC project than I do on CBS, I have to admit.
Well, that's true. Boston Legal takes up a lot of your time.
I like how you're winding up. You started out slow, and then it was kind of like the record player was getting warmed up.
That's right.
You started speeding up a little bit.
You know, the juices were flowing. I was getting on a roll there.
I kind of missed that whole warming up your record player concept. I don't do that anymore. Well, we have a really informative show, we think, lined up for you. You be the judge. It's some of the topics that we're going to discuss, Rob.
Yeah. Why get mobile phone internet access? I think that's an important question.
And I was wondering, did your 2005 internet predictions come true, Rob?
I think some of them did, to a certain extent. And we're also going to talk about just a couple of my 2006 internet trend teasers. I'm actually going to write an extensive article, but we're going to tease you on those a little bit.
Well, we'll hold your feet to the fire this year for last year's and next year for this year's.
Very confusing.
Rob and I can be reached, if you can have a long, really, or long arm, but digitally through rob@webtalkradio.com and dana@webtalkradio.com. And we appreciate you guys tuning in.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us again.
Listening to us.
We're over kind of a holiday week. And we certainly, Dana and I, hope everybody had a terrific holiday over the last few days. I know it's been all over a week since we did a show.
We've been relaxing. But we didn't do anything. We didn't go anywhere. We just sort of
did family stuff.
Family.
And ate too much.
No, well, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I did.
But you know, it's only, why is it only like two meals? Maybe you know that you eat, Christmas Eve, Christmas dinner, and then you pay for it.
It's the seconds, and then it's the desserts,
it's the appetizers
before, and
one of each kind of
pie. That's okay. It's certainly something that we do every year, so there's nothing too new about it. We're also proud members of the techpodcast.com network. If it's tech, it's here. The network has other great technology podcasts, so go check them out. You can subscribe to the show at podcasts.yahoo.com, iTunes, Odeo.com, Replay Radio, and Mobilecast at mobilecast.com without the E. And actually, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing some interviews again.
Shocking. You're going to do them in a different way, actually.
Well, a little bit different way.
Out of the studio.
Well, out of the studio, on the road. But I'm going to be speaking with Maria Thomas, who's the Director of Online Operations for National Public Radio.
Oh, I like her.
Yeah.
You've talked to her before.
Yeah, she's going to...
Not on the show, but...
No. I've been talking to her for quite a while about, podcasting. She calls me now and then, and we talk about those issues. So I'm going to get her on the show and have her voice kind of what's going on with podcasting with National Public Radio.
Doesn't she fly into Seattle and meet with Real and Microsoft and things like that?
Well, she's met with me when she comes into town, too.
So first.
Well, of course, before she goes to see those other big guys. And then also I'm going to be speaking with Robin Miller, who's the editor of Slashdot, actually over the next couple of weeks here.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right.
Well, he's got a new book out about Open Office. And he's trying to teach people, it's open source software.
Pimping his book?
He is pimping his book and talking about the alternative to Microsoft's Office. So.
That's going to be an uphill battle, Robin.
Well, I think, anyway, we'll go into it more then. You're listening to Web Talk Radio, webtalkradio.com, and this show is brought to you by GoToMeeting.
Todd Cochran here from the Geek News Central podcast. By now, you've probably heard that the Tech Podcast Network uses GoToMeeting to conduct online business meetings and training. But did you know that GoToMeeting is the easiest way for any organization to conduct online business meetings? I asked Slashdot Reviews' Andy McCaskey what he liked best about GoToMeeting.
I like the way you could set up a meeting without cumbersome reservations. Just log on, push Meet Now, and your meeting begins.
Sounds too good to be true? Try GoToMeeting for yourself. For 30 full days. You don't need a credit card. Just visit gotomeeting.com/tech roundtable or click on the GoToMeeting link on your podcaster's website.
You're listening to Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and my name is Rob Greenlee. Dana Greenlee's in here ready to rock and roll with some hot internet stuff.
Well, let me actually paint a picture for you guys. Imagine your significant other walking into the house after having commuted home from work. And it's not his voice you hear, but some random announcer talking away from about the belt buckle loop of his belt buckle. Okay, Rob wears his little Nokia cell phone. and plays podcasts on it. He kind of clips it onto his belt.
Yeah. And
so he's walking around.
What's cool about it is it's got a little speakerphone that's attached to it. So I can actually, through Mobilecast, I can actually stream podcasts directly to my phone and have them play externally.
You're just like a 6'9" transistor radio is what you are.
But it's, you know, and I think that the bigger topic here we wanted to talk about is why should anybody get internet access on their mobile phone? You know, I know that the carriers are all pimping that right now.
Because
they're,
we have legs.
Really pushing it.
Because we are mobile
as
people.
I think it's because, I mean, it's like the early days of Wi-Fi. I think people had a hard time justifying, well, why do I need Wi-Fi? You know, all that stuff. And I think over time, we're going to see this ubiquitous internet access
that's
available everywhere, just in hotspots.
It's just another net bill, though. I mean, we're paying cable bill, internet, wireless bill, Starbucks bill. And now we're going to, like, get the data plan. It's just these monthly charges, man.
Well,
you can have it everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a little expensive. I mean, you know, the data plan that I have through Singular right now, it's an unlimited, it's called MediaNet, unlimited internet access, and it's $19.95 a month, which is a little steep. It's as much as you'd pay for AOL or, mm-hmm. Or even DSL now. But there are some other data plans, like with some of the other carriers, that are less. I mean, there's some as low as $5.99 a month. Mm-hmm. So,
as opposed to paying per kilobyte or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the alternative to getting the unlimited plan is to pay on a per kilobyte basis, but that can get a little expensive. I mean, per kilobyte, I mean, just one podcast is like 27,000 kilobytes. So it's, can be a little expensive.
So it might
expensive.
Be good for these 3-minute short form thing. Well, you just get the plan. It's like the all you can eat.
Yeah, it's really the only way to go unless you want to get really high speed wireless internet access, the EVDOs out there, and we've talked about those quite a bit on the show.
I just like the way that sounds, EVDO.
Yeah, it just rolls off the tongue.
I say that every week.
Yeah.
How do you like your Nokia N90?
I think it's an interesting phone. I do like it, but I've been using my Pocket PC for so long that I guess my brain is wired for Microsoft or something. I don't know what it is now because I've been using Microsoft software for so long and I've gotten so used to my Dell Pocket PC. I'm craving
a Windows phone.
Mobile smartphone.
And they're coming, right?
Basically, but this Nokia N90 that I basically got as a review phone from Nokia is a really powerful device. It's got video capability, still camera.
All Christmas long, he's like videoing people with his camera.
Yeah, it's like
my mom's going, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's kind of funny because people kind of look at this phone because I can change the form factor of it to look like a camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to
swivel around the little viewfinder.
Yeah, you know, I've had many people look at this thing and go, "What is that?" You know,
it doesn't look like your normal camera. You know,
It doesn't look like a normal cell phone. That's for sure. Yeah. It's got all these different form factors, ways that you can twist it, and we're starting to see more and more cell phones have that kind of functionality where they're a clam phone, but yet they're a little laptops, and depending on how they fold open, they got.
What was that cute one that wasn't Vulcan Ventures putting together the one Ode?
The Flipstart.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
Well, that's actually a full Windows XP, device.
A computer. It's like a little Barbie computer, right? It's not a tiny thing. It doesn't come in pink.
Well, it's like 3 inches in diameter and like a 3/4 inch thick. But it's running the full version of Windows XP.
Okay, that's out there. And how about that?
It's not out yet. Actually,
oh, it isn't? Okay.
The Flipstart, it hasn't been released yet. They're still, I think, waiting for the market to catch up to them a little bit. But it, you know, I think that in 2006, I think we're going to see more of those kind of devices.
No, but what
hit the
was
market.
That one that came? That is out. It was like $1,000. We talked about it a few years ago. It starts with a U or an O.
The OQO.
OQO
is the one that's. I think it's close to $2,000, but it's got a little sliding keyboard that slides out from underneath the actual screen, but it's a full-fledged.
But it's tiny.
Windows XP. I think it's like 4 inches kind of rectangular shape. But it's running the full version of XP. And that's available right now.
Mr. Rob.
Yes.
What do you listen to on your Nokia? What actual programs do you listen to?
Well, I listen to podcasts right now.
Do you do more listening than you do like looking at web pages? With your data plan?
I can actually do both simultaneously.
Oh.
I can listen to podcasts. You know, I listen like CNN updates through Mobilecast and the ABC News Nightline show, Meet the Press, some of those kind of major content providers.
And then he comes home and he watches them on his TiVo, too.
Yeah.
You get them both ways.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I miss it on the TiVo.
The TiVo never misses it.
Well, I know, but sometimes I do. So anyway, I can listen to all those things on my cell phone. But yet at the same time, I still listen to kind of my friend's podcast, too, like Dana's podcast that she did for CBS is on Mobilecast. And actually, I listen to that all the time, too. So it's really, and surf the web. I can read web pages. So it's just like what you could do on a regular laptop.
And Todd Cochran.
Well, Todd Cochran from Geek News Central podcast, Andy McCaskey from Slashdot Review, and of course, my Dana.
Do you listen to Ken Radio?
Ken Rakowski?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Honest.
I still do.
Does he still do a daily?
Yeah.
World Tech News Roundup thing?
Yeah. He's still doing it. So actually he's been doing this show a lot longer than we have.
Oh yeah. No, I know. He's like the original dude.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I haven't heard him for like a year.
Well, and a lot of people that listen to our show also listen to Ken too. So Ken's got a lot of good information on his show. So it's good to keep up with him.
Yeah. He's entertaining as I recall.
But the biggest thing that I really noticed about listening to podcasts, at least on my mobile phone, is that I still like major media, and a lot of people have beat up major media for getting into podcasting, but I think it has a place. But I also think, you know, friends podcasts also has a place too, people that you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key distinction, is that the podcasts that I'm gravitated toward now are podcasts being done by people that I know or have some personal connection.
You know, that's not really revolutionary, because that's what the internet experience is. It's like you go to the major portal sites and the big sites, and you know, and then you also go to your friends pages.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a global and local experience.
It is. It's taken the full spectrum. And also, I like to have a lot of choice, because occasionally I'll venture off and I'll listen to a podcast about marketing or some other particular interest area that I have as well.
Anything naughty?
No. Right. I don't do anything naughty. Right.
I know.
But do you do things naughty? That's the question. I mean, if you had a chance, would you listen to... like a Don and Drew or a Naughty
never
podcast.
Don and Drew. Never have listened to them. Do not. I don't agree with their thing. But
you don't, huh?
But I have no qualms about exploring the darker side of the net.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I just don't like them.
There's a lot of cutting edge stuff being done on that side of the internet. No question.
Yeah. T. David told us all about that. Well, Rob, do you want to get into some of, I don't know, do you want to eat crow and talk about what trends didn't happen that you predicted back last January?
Well, probably the number one, definitely the number one prediction that I made for 2005 was mobile digital media explodes. So do you think I succeeded with that prediction?
I would say so.
Think so?
Wouldn't you?
I would say so.
It's exploded and it's
messy. I'm trying to be objective here. I'm not trying to.
But give us some benchmarks of throughout the year of the things that you think that proved your point.
Well, I think that just generally, media is going to where people want to listen to it or watch it. And that's the bigger trend that we're seeing here is all of these, you know, mobile players and MP3 players and iPods and whatever is kind of propelling that forward, where people can actually consume their media when it's convenient for them and how they want to, you know, even create their own. And I think that's the other big thing, but that's kind of teasing what I'm going to talk about for 2006.
And wasn't the, in 2005, they had a big conference that's kind of supported mobile digital media? It was well attended. Mm. Was that the one that was in October?
You're talking about the Podcast Portable Media Expo?
Okay. Wasn't that also originally called the Digital Media Mobile thing? That's just the key. That's just the.
No, it was originally called the Podcast Expo is what it was originally called, but then they added the portable media piece, which he thought was going to be more inclusive to like video and other types of digital media that would be consumed.
What other predictions did you accurately predict or inaccurately?
Wireless would grow. Would you say that that's true too? I mean, from like Wi-Fi, CDMA, EVDO, WiMAX, all those kinds of things. Of course, we haven't really seen too much happen with WiMAX, so... I think I probably missed the prediction a little bit there with WiMAX, that it was going to hit a little bit more of
a
standard.
All you have to do is wander in any downtown corridor and see people with their like arms raised with a little device at the end of that arm, you know, kind of like searching for a little connection, you know, kind of waving it around, trying to get to the, you know, okay, connected to Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Well, that's
you see that?
Well, certainly in a downtown urban area, there's a lot of Wi-Fi networks that you could connect to. It's just whether or not they're secure by WEP or not, you know, whether or not you have to enter a password to get into them.
Do we still call it war driving? Or is that kind of like not the cool thing to do anymore where you just drive around and find
I think it happens a lot.
Open networks.
I mean, you just walk down the street and you can war drive. You don't have to drive anymore.
War stroll.
You can basically walk anywhere and probably find a wireless network right. These days. I mean, unless you're out in the mountains or something like that. But you never know. You know, I mean, the bears probably like to get online too, you know.
And we'll hear from someone at the end of the show who wrote us about the areas that you cannot get it.
Anyway. That's true. And then the third prediction that I had was most net citizens become digital content creators. What do you think?
Podcast exploded.
Podcasts, blogs.
Blogs.
And, you know, you look at all those areas of how people are contributing to the network, you know.
Even the major media.
Even MySpace.com is a Jeepers. Classic example of people contributing to the network. So
you finally got a MySpace account, so did I.
Yeah.
The only friend I have is that Tom guy that's friends to everybody.
Yeah.
I would say that you predicted that one correctly, and even the major media are sort of recognizing, have definitely recognized and brought on their own bloggers and give them credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of started a little bit with the whole inviting them to the convention, the Democratic National Convention.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Well, and CNN brought bloggers into the midst. They mm-hmm. actually talk about
and
blogs.
And yet, on Wolf Blitzer's show, The Situation Room, he and that commentator that comes on, that old guy, they still almost proudly wave the flag of, I don't know anything about technology. I'm a, you know, I don't know anything. Web page? What? You know, I cannot believe that they can stand there, be authorities on the world at large and still sort of like think it's a badge of honor not to understand how to using the internet.
Yeah, that is true. Okay. That is true. And then the number four prediction that I had was moblogs would become all the rage. And I think to a certain extent that's probably happened, but I'm not sure it grew as big as I thought it was going to.
Can you define moblogs for me, please?
Well, it's basically a weblog of content that's sent to it via mobile phone. I mean, essentially, or a PDA or something like that. So if you create, you know, like if you have a camera phone,
mm-hmm.
or you also have a phone that has the ability to input text into it, that there'd be whole blogs that were run off of mobile phones. And I think I was probably a little bit too early on that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's as many of those around as we probably thought, or I probably thought would happen. And I think it's all because the whole mobile phone thing hasn't grown quite as fast as I thought it would, as far as being able to get online access on your mobile phone. And I think this year is probably going to happen a little bit more. And then number five is media search and the whole IPTV thing. And
yeah, this year saw everybody coming on, you know, Yahoo and Google mm-hmm. and everybody having searching video.
Yeah, I mean, it AOL. Certainly is gathering momentum. I would have to say if I look back on my thoughts on this, I would have to say that it's probably stalled a little bit, because we haven't really seen any IPTV really solutions, compelling solutions really be deployed yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it may be coming in 2006. There's a very good likelihood that that would be the case. And media search is still kind of stalled a little bit. The whole concept of indexing the actual content itself, actually pulling and being able to search inside the media file for what is said or what is viewed on there, is still, you know, at its early stages.
What was it? Is it Google or Yahoo that are doing it with the closed caption, which is notoriously badly written?
Well, it's Google is the one that's primarily doing that right now.
And Singing Fish, of course, has done it forever. So they got AOL got a big benefit when they got it.
Well,
they acquired Singing Fish.
But Singing Fish isn't really doing that much in content indexing.
Oh, they
take
it from Meta.
Well, it's all metadata. And even
so, if they don't have Meta, they don't get indexed very well.
Yeah, even Yahoo's doing primarily metadata. That's why they came out with the Media RSS standard, was to try to inspire people to put more content-related content into those RSS feeds to help them index it. So I think we're still early on the whole media search part. And 2006, obviously, I mean, some of these things that I predicted are long-term evolutionary trends.
And did Google kind of stumble with their whole video, upload your video to the Google thing? Because people were sending stuff that they didn't have rights for.
I think they got a black eye for doing that in 2005, and I think it stalled them out a little bit. I think it made them pause a little bit and think, maybe we're not doing this entirely the right way.
People took advantage of the free storage for their huge video files, but it really wasn't of any interest to the majority of people.
But I think there was still a lot of content uploaded, but I think it was primarily citizen-created, independent stuff.
I mean,
things were it's... Yeah. It's not major media content, even though some major media did get approval or give Google approval to put up like streaming a whole movie or something like that. I think that happened a few times.
Okay. Local web search was something you talked about.
Yeah, and I think this there were some significant developments in this area as well. I think all the major search engines are aggressively moving in this direction. But I think this one is another one of those that's keyed off of wireless data, in getting a large amount of people with cell phones that have internet connections that can actually utilize local geographical search. So when they're walking through the streets of Seattle or whatever city around the U.S. or overseas, they can type in, you know, find a Starbucks, in downtown Seattle, and it'll actually, you know, give you a search result that will actually show you where to go. So I think that's all key to local based search, and I think that we're definitely getting there. It's just one of those evolutionary
rockonmaps.google.com. I love that.
Yeah,
and that's local because I mean you type in a city and you get the merchants in that city, but visually as well.
And number seven is, are weblogs becoming sponsor supported major media sources? And I would say
that's a dirty word. Sponsoring blogs.
Yeah, I would say that one came pretty much true though. When you start looking at how the weblogs, you know, even Weblogs Inc. was sold out to, you know, America Online, and how that certainly is growing into be viewed somewhat as a major media source.
It's more the major media that you were predicting, not the fact that it was going to be sponsor supported.
Well, no,
advertising on a blog.
Well, I think that's part of what I was saying here as well.
Or bloggers is accepting
more and more. Yeah, more and more bloggers are getting perceived as being major sources of breaking news. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's being viewed that way to a certain extent. But I also think that blogs are being viewed as fairly unreliable sources too, that may be spreading rumors and misinformation as well. So I think it's going the full spectrum.
Are just pointing to each other.
Yes.
Creating a little sort of black hole.
Yeah.
Number eight was email maintains killer applications. Boy, that's a term that won't die, will it? Status against the IM. So email over IM, you predicted, and is that still the truth?
Yeah, I would say that spam has been cut down quite a bit. At least that's been my experience with spam filters. Mm-hmm. Having, especially a server-side spam filter, really makes a huge difference. And so I think that has really brought back the usefulness of email again. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's really affected my life dramatically from what it used to be, where I used to get so much spam. Now a lot of it gets cut out and I just get the email I want. So.
I've only probably logged on to an IM in the last 6 months twice. And that's only because people beg me to get on.
Yeah.
I can't stand IM.
Yeah.
It's so intrusive.
Well, I hear people say this all the time that they just don't want to be interrupted. And
right.
What I see people do is people are on their IMs, but they change their status to being away or something like that. So they're actually not taking advantage of what the whole purpose of Instant Messenger is everybody's always available. And so I think that the Instant Messenger has kind of seen its heyday, but I do know that younger kids use Instant Messenger more than older people. So maybe it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
But I think that those kids are going to also notice that it's very intrusive as well. So
they like that. They like to be bombarded with stimuli.
So I think that number eight prediction, I was fairly close, I think, on that one.
You just give yourself A+ all around.
Yeah. Well, somebody has to. And number nine is mobile web and mobile streaming media grows. And actually, we're going to talk about this in an email at the end of the show here. One of our listeners was kind of objecting to the concept of that streaming media to like a mobile device is not really a very viable way of getting content. And I think that's open for debate, but it's also an evolutionary thing too. But my thought here basically is that more and more people are going to be getting mobile streaming media and mobile web access.
But you know, the thing is about downloading versus streaming is that it's assured you're going to get it. You're not going to have that buffering, but there are things that you are not allowed by copyright law to
have
allow
stored
download.
On your hard drive. Yeah.
So, you know, what choice is there except for the rights employed, you know, rights controlled streaming
situation? Well, yeah. And recently with deals like, TiVo to the mobile player device, you know, like you can transfer TiVo content to your iPod. So that's something that's fairly new and coming on the scene. So your portable PVR, you can transfer to a different mobile device.
Really?
Yeah. So that's all happening. And number 10, the emergence of unlikely geek media stars online. And I think that's pretty much come true as well. People like Robert Scoble and Dave Weiner, Doc Searles, growing in their stature online and becoming almost like rock stars of the online world.
Lawrence Lessig.
Yeah. Well, he's one of them, but I think he's kind of declined a little bit. I don't hear as much from him. I don't know if he's just gotten busy, and that's oftentimes
Lessig. I said Lessig. I guess he's dropped out of my own vernacular right now.
Well, I think that often happens to people. They get busy in their professional lives offline, and they have less time to actually blog and
write. But Scoble's paid to blog.
Well, he is. He's now considered by Microsoft to be a professional spokesperson for Microsoft.
Excellent.
So he's not really a technical evangelist like he used to be. Mm. He's a full-time blogger spokesperson for Microsoft now.
That's got to be the best job in the world.
Well, yeah. I mean, he works pretty hard at it, though.
He travels. You've been to his place. He has a nice place on Lake Washington.
It's actually in Bothell.
Bothell,
in the north end of the east side of Seattle. So it's like north of Bellevue.
Oh,
kind of area, Kirkland.
Yeah,
that area. So
does he still have to go into his office to blog?
He can blog from anywhere,
but I know. But does he report for duty?
Oh yeah, he does. He reports
Salute
for duty. Yes,
Mr. Gates, as he walks into his cube.
Well, I guess he talks more with the higher level executives now than he ever did before. They basically take him a lot more seriously now than they did a couple years ago.
Okay, so we just went through your 10 trends for 2005. If people are curious, I guess they can go to webtalkradio.com, check out your article, which is buried somewhere in there from January.
Yeah, I'm going to repost it up here in the next, probably by...
By the time you post your 2006 predictions, which you're working on now. But
yes,
you have something
I am
to tease us with?
I do. Actually, I have really my number one prediction for the internet for 2006 is net citizen content creation.
Well, that sounds a lot like last year with the whole blog citizen journalism thing.
Well, it's actually moved up. Actually, last year I had that one at the number three position.
Oh, is this in some kind of importance order?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes.
So now this is at number one?
This is the number one trend for 2006.
Well, it's a safe bet.
What do you mean it's a safe bet?
It's not exactly putting your neck out there.
Well, no, that is true. But I am kind of waving the flag saying that this is the most important trend for 2006 is the growth. I mean, all you had to look at is a site like myspace.com and you really can see it. Podcasting, which is a 2005 phenomenon. All those things are just pulling people into creating content online.
Netizen content creation. This is not the people making their websites. It's just everybody, you know, whether it's
whether
WYSIWYG,
it's
WYSIWYG, MySpace.
Or posting whatever. A comment to a weblog or it's sending an email to somebody, you know, commenting about something to...
Everybody in college is active online with putting content there. So, you know, they're only going to graduate and continue to do the same.
Yeah. But it's really, really pointing out the importance of being able to write. That's a skill.
Yeah, I don't know. You haven't read stuff online lately. Some of it's atrocious.
Well, yeah. But I guess that's getting everybody to speak, even though they may not be really good at writing.
Oh, my goodness. MySpace comments are just pathetic. But you're right. I think if you want to be taken more seriously in that ghetto, you know, you start to kind of hone. I know I use
But in some ways, it's cool to be, you know, misspelling words and short using short abbreviations for words. You know, it's that whole I am culture.
There's a lot of bad language, though.
Well, of course.
But I keep my little thesaurus.com thing handy so I can try and think of unique ways to say the same old thing.
Yeah. And the number two trend, and these are the only two that I'm going to share with you at this point, is digital multimedia in the living room and beyond. So I think that's the second most important trend that we're seeing in the marketplace
Explain
right now.
Explain that just briefly.
Well, I believe that in 2006, it's the year for internet-based television viewing, essentially is what this is. And it's going to challenge, I think, the whole concept of what we've been assuming was going to happen with IPTV. Because IPTV is kind of misunderstood. People think that that's like internet television, but it really isn't. It's really like a walled garden type of approach. It's like a Comcast being able to deliver not that much different than what you're seeing right now with digital cable. It just will enable you to get access to more channels and more information, where internet-based television is more like what we're seeing at CBS.com when they make entire episodes of programs available off of their website or to be downloaded. You know, even Battlestar Galactica has been offering a direct download of Battlestar Galactica television show. I think that's...
Off which site?
Off of their own site.
Oh, you mean like the official Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah, exactly.
Or remember Threshold was trying to be saved by offering like whole episode downloads at CBS.com.
So if you look at kind of those bigger trends, like CNN's actually offering now the CNN pipeline where they're offering streaming television programming. Actually, this trend has been going on overseas for many years now where television stations have been streaming their programming online. We're starting to see it happen more here in the United States. So that's kind of that's my thoughts on that. And then the other significant thing, too, is being able to sling your media to portable players, which means that this whole sling box concept, if you haven't heard what this is, you basically plug it into your cable box on your TV at home. It has the ability to stream your content coming into your television to any mobile device that you have, whether it be a cell phone or a laptop that's connected to the internet.
So is that kind of what you were talking about just a few minutes ago when you said you could watch TiVo on your mobile thing? Oh, okay.
No, it's a different thing, but it's similar in the concept that you actually take possession of your own media and access to your own media center in your living room.
Yeah, makes
sense. And be able to watch it from anywhere you happen to be. And I think that's a significant, transformation of how people think about how they consume their media. And then the other significant one, I think, is the Xbox 360 and what that's going to do to the living room as you look out in the future. I mean, this is a game console that has more power than most people's PCs in their office.
Big storage. So is it becoming a set top? Thing?
Well, it is, but it's becoming a set top computer gaming device, media player, television
DVR thing.
I mean, it's a media extender for the whole media center concept. So it's compelling, that's for sure. So anyway, that's a little teaser. Why don't you visit our website here by the end of the week, and you'll be able to see the other eight that I have on the list.
Okay, maybe you will put your neck out there.
I do every year. I've been doing it for 3 years now.
I have right here an email.
Yes, you do.
From Joe in Boston. Boston. I love that dirty water. No, that's not how you say Boston?
Boston?
I don't know. I don't know either, but Boston, you're my home. To quote it. He says, I was listening to the download of Web Talk and your thoughts on streaming. He says, my perspective, there are two different and complementary delivery channels. He says, I have a 90-minute commute each way. Sorry, Joe. Almost all of it out of even cell phone reach, let alone Wi-Fi. He says he takes a commuter rail, which travels through terrain that's ignored by cell phone providers. And, wow, 90 minutes. What did you do, work in New York City? train down from Boston? Real-time streams are not an option. However, it's simple to feed my iPod or PSP while I make my morning coffee and get ready for work. I'm then armed with hours of audio and video for my ride. Once at work, I work. Good for you. Streaming personal content is just not an option. By the time I arrive home, consuming streams is really not high on my to-do list. So everything happens on this commute, and how great. He goes on to say, 90% of my media consumption is playback of stored content at my convenience. But the only stuff I'd stream is something that was really too big to store for delay, and that's less and less likely because compression's so good and storage is huge. Or something I really want that's only available that way, no other way. So I don't miss net congestion or rebuffering. That's the truth. Download works for me. And then he PS'd us. He says, afterthought, I do actually stream. I just remembered my Roku SoundBridge. He says that internet radio feature, especially with the vast improvement of the new beta firmware, is a compelling feature and one I use the most and one I use most of the time that I'm home. And I had to look that up because I didn't know what a Roku SoundBridge was. And I'm looking at a picture right now on the computer. And it's just basically a way I guess.
What's a streaming player that you can use in your home with your stereo system?
So you have streaming radio stations, right? But exactly. Playing throughout your house or whatever.
Exactly.
It's like a little, is it like a sling thing like you just talked about? Not really.
No,
but,
not really. Yeah. It's really for just a playback. It's basically like a
extender.
Well, it's like a streaming media playback device that you plug into your,
but you stream from your computer, but you can hear it in the kitchen or wherever you are.
Yeah, exactly.
With your speakers that are there.
So you can get access to any internet radio.
Because a lot of that's
content provider. So, Joe, I would say, I mean, one of the questions that you ask is whether or not, you can get the Tech Podcast Network, through the Roku Bridge. And I would say you probably can. Now, granted, I haven't used the bridge to actually say for sure that will work. But,
but if it streams?
Well, if it streams, and we do stream, through Windows Media of the content on that network. So, I would say, yeah, it's a pretty good chance of that. And you can certainly get our show because we stream. So.
And he did say, but he downloads us for the drive.
Yeah.
The commute. The rail. Yeah. You know about rail. You're commuting via rail.
Yeah, I wanted to make a quick comment about his comment about streaming on his particular situation. I mean, I think that, you know, there's a lot of people that are not going to be able to get access to streaming on their mobile phones or whatever for a lot of different reasons, because just like he said, he's going through an area that just is ignored by cell phone carriers. But that's not to say that there are millions of people around the world and in the United States that can get it.
Mm-hmm.
On the bus or on the train or in their cars or whatever. And I think that's where we're going to be seeing, a lot. And I think, you're going to have both options available to you. You're going to have the ability to stream. You're going to have ability to download and have your, remote playback. So I think you're going to have all your choices.
But like he says, he doesn't want to put up with the buffering and I can't blame him.
Well, yeah, but it's all a factor of how reliable these networks become. It isn't necessarily what they are today. Mm-hmm. It's what they're going to become a couple of years from now. And it's certainly plausible that you can get to more content than you can store on your hard drive as a stream. And that's really how I'm looking at it. Your choices, it's just like your SoundBridge. You can get to anything that you want.
Okay.
So you anyway.
Have to plan ahead.
So Joe's not wrong in what he thinks here.
No.
I mean, for his particular situation,
yeah.
It doesn't make sense, but that's exactly why you need to have a storage capability as well as a stream capability. And I think he's a classic example of, I think, what's going to happen for a lot of people is that they're going to do both. Joe, thank you. And if you want to send Dana and I an email, send it to rob@webtalkradio.com or dana@webtalkradio.com, and we'll talk about it on the air, just like this.
Now we have to go celebrate New Year's. So that's it for our show this week.
Yeah. Thank you for listening and joining us, and we appreciate you tuning into the show. And if you're a longtime listener, we appreciate it. Thank you. And we hope that you have a terrific week. And we look forward to sharing some more information with you next week on the show. And if you want to, like I said, send us a comment, we're more than happy to talk about it on the show. So we'll see you around the net.
Cheers.